And in this church, as Catherine prayed, we really are blessed. We have a lot of spiritual moms as well, and God is just blessed. He's so good to us in that. But happy Mother's Day to moms here. Well, did you forget anything this week? Probably most likely. We're very forgetful people. Maybe you forgot to send your mother a card, you know, you're writing somehow with some Jackie, the card there. And I remember a couple told me something they forgot. It was a few years ago. They both driven to church separately, and then when they got home, they looked at each other and realized they had both forgotten their child in the nursery. I've stood in the middle of the aisle at Ingalls wondering, why am I here? You know, aren't cell phones a great thing? You know, you just call the wife. Sweetie, why am I here? Ice. Oh, yeah. Got it. I'm on it. Well, we all suffer with forgetfulness, don't we? And, of course, we develop our methods of remembering. Sticky notes on the mirror, lists, scribbling names and numbers on the palm of our hands, asking Siri, you know. And of course, there's always calling our spouse. That works. But remembering and not forgetting is so critical to the life of faith, so critical that God, in His Word, reminds us something like 250 times to remember. And certain psalms are dedicated as reminders, even reminding us that we of how we forget God and that this always leads to disaster. Well, in our Waiting on God series last week, we looked at King Saul and how fear derails waiting on God. Well, today we want to consider how forgetting derails waiting on God, and thus the importance in our waiting of remembering. Let's look at this. Let's consider this from Psalm 106. We're not going to read the entire psalm. We'll cover a good bit of it, but we're going to read the first 15 verses. Let's hear God's word. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all His praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make known His mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry. He led them through the deep as through a desert. So He saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed His words. They sang His praise. But they soon forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel. But they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. They soon forgot His works. They did not wait for His counsel. Verse 13. When we forget, we will fail to wait. When we do not remember God, who He is, and His works, we will become kind of like impatient drivers with a yellow light in front of us. We don't slow down. We just hit the gas. And spiritually, it's because we don't wait on God. We don't want to slow down for Him. We just want to speed up to get on with the life that we long for. Psalm 106 is a romp through Israel's history, from the Exodus in Egypt to exile in Babylon. The psalmist is writing from exile. He's praying for God to save and to deliver. And as he's looking back on the history, he is confessing how Israel's entire history has been one of forgetting God and so failing to wait on the Lord. It's as if they sped up at all the yellow lights and blew through the red lights, all in order to get to the next thing that they craved. Now the psalmist, he's in exile, but he doesn't blame his ancestors for the predicament that he's in. He doesn't heap accusation on his forefathers. You know, they blew it, and now we're suffering the consequences. No, verse 6, both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. When the psalmist looks at his forefathers, he knows he's looking in the mirror. And as we look at Psalm 106, perhaps we are as well. Because we can quickly become forgetful people who fail to then wait upon the Lord. Well, consider the trail of forgetting God in this psalm. The forgetting begins in Egypt and at the Red Sea. Verse 7, our fathers did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled at the Red Sea. When Israel left slavery in Egypt, God actually directed them into a cul-de-sac. The Red Sea was in front of them. Hills were on either side, and the Egyptians were at their back door. They were trapped. They were like sitting ducks. But instead of waiting on the Lord, remembering his power and how he had just delivered them hours before from slavery in Egypt, Israel rebelled by complaining. Here's what they said, Exodus 14:11. Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us? Is this not why we said, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. I mean, they said this just days after watching God flex his mighty arm to set them free, all the plagues that descended on the Egyptians. How quickly they forgot. Forgetting led to rebellion rather than waiting in trust. And yet God saved them. He parted the Red Sea so that Israel could pass through safely. And we read verse 12, then they believed his words. You know, they saw God do this amazing miracle. Then they believed and they sang his praise. Remember Miriam, Moses' sister, she breaks out the tambourine band with the women, and they have this praise and worship festival to God. But, verse 13, they soon forgot his works. And by soon, we are talking 3 days. 3 days later, they have no water. The praise songs evaporate, and they strike up the tune of grumbling. Well, the Lord provided water, but soon after this, no food. Again, no remembering God, no waiting for his help, just complaining. And here's what they said at that point. This is Exodus 16:3. Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the meat pots. It was the flesh pots of Asheville, you know, I know of Egypt. There we ate bread to the full, for you've brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. How soon they forgot. And it just kept going. Not long after this, again, no water. And again, no remembering, no waiting, no asking, only complaining. They actually said at this point, Exodus 17:7, is the Lord among us or not? Basically, what they were saying was this. What is wrong with this God? He's doing a pretty shabby job of taking care of us. We cannot read the history of Israel without being appalled at their ingratitude and the seeming insanity of how quickly they forgot God and grumbled. And it's very easy for us to kind of look down on them and think, what was wrong with those people? As if we would have been different. Well, let me ask, are we any better? I'll answer that for us. No, we're not any better than them. We're just like them. We are looking in the mirror with this psalm, folks. I mean, we've seen God's hand providing in years past, days past. We've sung his praise. And then at the first sign of any new opposition, we forget what God has done. And there's this rebellion in our spirits, this grumbling about how our circumstances are so hard and life is painful. And we've forgotten all the ways God delivered and provided and promises to give us what we need for life and godliness if we just wait on him. Folks, we're exactly like Israel in forgetting God. And the history of forgetting just keeps going in this psalm. Jealous men complain about Moses' leadership, verse 16. Verse 19, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to get the law, and the people get tired of waiting. And so they fashion a golden calf and bow down and worship it. Verse 21 says, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. Verse 24, they despise the pleasant land. That's a reference to the spies who were sent into the land of Canaan. They went up into the promised land, they returned, and they turned the hearts of the people against the Lord by saying, there are giants in the land. They're too much for us. We can't do this. Well, of course they couldn't do it, but God could. I think Israel, they never saw themselves as God's treasured people whom the Lord would fight for. They always forgot the Lord, thinking their circumstances were bigger than the Lord, and basically it was his fault to begin with that they were in such difficult circumstances. Verse 14 says, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test. Wow, wanton craving. That sounds awful, doesn't it? And it is, a wanton craving. That can also be translated, they craved a craving, literally, or they lusted a lust. No matter the circumstance, their flesh ruled out. All they could pay attention to was their needs, their cravings for food, beverage, and the comforts of Egypt, forgetting totally that they were in absolute misery back there in slavery. Well, do we need to go on? I mean, Psalm 106, it just continues. Rebellion, unbelief, jealousy, discontent, murmuring, complaining, worshiping other gods, sacrificing to the dead, and sacrificing their sons and daughters to demons. All because they forgot the Lord. They failed to remember. And so wait on the Lord for what they needed. 1 Corinthians 10 comments on what Psalm 106 covers. Evil desires, idolatry, sexual immorality, grumbling. And then 1 Corinthians 10 says this, these things happened to them as an example, but were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages have come. God had Israel go through these things, but so that we would remember, it was written down. And we are not to forget, and not merely remember the ways we forget that leads to sin, but also to remember God's response to our forgetting. And what's that? His remembering. Consider God's remembering in the face of our forgetting. Verse 45, for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. God's remembering eclipses Israel's forgetting. And the psalmist is so taken by God's remembering that he begins and he ends the psalm in the same way, same line. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This psalm and the psalmist is full of hope because God remembers. And he remembers goodness and love. Now we're going to circle back to that, but there's something else that God remembers, and it is judgment on wickedness. And we can't forget and skip the wrath, folks. Verse 15 is a scary statement. God gave them what they wanted, but sent a wasting disease among them. And that can also be translated, I think it's the King James, he sent leanness into their souls. God may give us what we want when we complain enough, but with it, he may send leanness, a thinness in our souls. Our souls don't grow strong in the Lord. They grow weak as we just satisfy the longings of our bodies to get our fill of life in this world. Besides leanness, God also killed some of them in the wilderness. He sent plagues, you know, not just on the wicked nation of Egypt, but on his own rebellious people. God scattered them to the nations in exile. That's where the psalmist now is. And it's because of their rebellion, they're forgetting God. God is a God of love and mercy, but he's also holy, and he will discipline rebellion and wickedness. We can't just go our way and say, well, it doesn't matter. God forgives. He does, and at great cost. But we are called to repent, to turn from sin, turn to him, remembering and waiting on him as our Savior. I mean, will we remember him? And so wait on him. Well, God remembers. And he remembers in spite of our unworthiness and our sin, even he remembers his covenantal promises that are full of goodness and his love. God promised Abraham that he would make a nation out of him and that through Abraham he would bless the nations. Well, that blessing is Jesus Christ, isn't it? God is faithful to his word, and this is what is filling the psalmist's mind, and it should fill our minds, our hearts, these statements that just punctuate this psalm. Verse 8, yet he saved them for his name's sake. Verse 10, so he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. Verse 43, many times he delivered them. Verse 44, nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. Israel forgot God, but God remembered them. And it's God's remembering his people that helps the psalmist to turn this psalm into a hallelujah psalm, a praise the Lord psalm. And it's what helps the psalmist to remember and indeed wait on God. And consider the content of the psalmist's remembering. That is, what is he remembering? What's he focusing on? Well, there's praise and thanksgiving for God's goodness and love. Verse 1, praise the Lord. That's hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare his praise? As we wait and remember that the content, the practice of remembering is to get God up, to exalt him as greater than whatever we're facing. We worship and we trust him for his goodness and never-ending love. Our needs are real, but so is God. And he is greater, he is mightier, and he is working out his good purposes in the lives of his people he loves. Now, it's no happenstance that the psalmist locks in with thanksgiving and praise on God's goodness and love. These are two things that you and I tend, and Israel, tend to doubt so quickly and forget. And we always have. Humanity has, since the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, when the serpent deceived Eve and got her and Adam to believe a lie about God, at the heart of that lie is that God is not good or loving. I mean, the serpent groused about God. You can't eat from any tree in the garden? Oh, no, we can eat from any tree except the one in the middle of the garden. Oh, well, that's the best tree of all. That's the one you need most. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God obviously doesn't care for you because he hasn't given you the one thing you need most in life right now. How can you say he's loving? He's holding out on you. And so you need to get around God. Forget his word. Here's what you need to do. You need to launch out on your own and take what God has failed to give you because he's not good, he's not loving. That's basically the lie that Satan put out. And you and I and all of humanity have been buying that lie for all of history. That God has failed us in some way. He's failed to help. He's failed to provide. And so we question, we doubt his goodness and love. And the psalmist knows that is a lie. The psalmist knows God is good and he is loving and he calls us back, remembering and waiting in the light of this very truth. God is good and he is loving. And just how good and enduring is God's love? Well, let's remember as we see how Jesus fulfills this psalm. Verse 23 speaks of Moses standing in the breach between God and his people. Now, to stand in the breach is a military term. And the picture here really is a soldier standing almost in a doorway or the gateway, opposing the forces that are trying to get in to destroy those on the inside. You know, Israel deserved to be destroyed after worshiping the golden calf. And Moses stands in the breach so that Israel is not destroyed. Well, to protect you and me from the wrath of God, Jesus stood in the breach. He stood in the doorway that the wrath of God could not get us. It got him instead. Verse 30 speaks of Phinehas. He was one of the priests. He stood up and he intervened. He actually took a spear and he killed a man and a Moabite woman who are committing sexual immorality and just blatantly before God. And Phinehas put them to death, and God honored that act. Well, Jesus stood up not to kill us, but to be killed. We who clearly deserve to be put to death for our rebellion, Jesus took the spear of God's wrath on our behalf. Verse 32 speaks of how it went ill with Moses at the waters of Meribah. You remember there again was no water. The people complained. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the rock." But he got angry at the people and he struck the rock. And because he dishonored the Lord said, "You're out. You are prohibited from going into the promised land." And it was a bitter, ill thing for Moses. Well, it went ill with Jesus on our account. When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As he hung there on the cross, that was a bitter, ill thing. But here's the twist. He was cast out instead of us. He suffered hell, so we would not. God remembered his covenant and he sent Jesus. Jesus is, verse 43, the many times deliverer. Jesus is the goodness of God. Jesus is the steadfast love of God for us. What are you waiting for in this season of life? That's been the question we've been asking in this series. You know, moms, what are you waiting for with your children? Boy, there's a huge wait. Grandparents, waiting for grandchildren. What are you waiting for? When we're waiting on God, that doesn't mean that there's no thirst or hunger or wilderness. There often is. Doesn't mean we will never be at the end of our hoarded resources. We often are. But at the place of waiting, remember, God's goodness and love. God knows where you are. He knows what you are going through. He hears your prayers and he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And the evidence of that is Jesus Christ. Turn to me. Remember me. Wait. Trust. Ask. As we wait as a church with all the issues that surround this station vision, as we wait, let's be sure to fill the waiting with remembering. Praising God that he is good. Exalting him that he is loving. Jesus Christ is the evidence of this. Whatever happens next, only God, right? I mean, truly, we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you, O Lord. And that's not a bad place to be. It's really a good place to be. Wait and remember with thanksgiving and praise, God is good, God is loving. And so in waiting and remembering, we ask and we trust the Lord to make a way forward. Amen.